Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Have you ever planned a surprise for someone? Well, about 13 years ago, my family planned a surprise party for my dad's 50th birthday. We arranged it so that a bunch of family and friends waited for him in our church's fellowship hall. And we got my dad to go there for some reason, and he was surprised by everyone there. Now, I wasn't able to be there. At least, that's what everyone told my dad. At the time, I was still in the Army and stationed down in Texas, but I was actually able to get a few days off and flew home. And when I got to the church, I put on my dress uniform and then called my dad on his phone. I told him happy birthday and how I wished I could be there while walking into the fellowship hall. It worked out perfectly that once I entered the room, my dad had his back to me, but everyone else could see me. Well, finally, my dad, after talking to him for a little bit more on the phone, he finally turned around and he saw me. Surprise! Everyone cheered, and my dad was pretty excited to see that I was actually there. It was a lot of fun pulling off this surprise. Easter is certainly the greatest surprise that anyone has ever pulled. Nobody saw it coming. God's pretty good at surprising everyone, for the whole Easter event was full of surprises. What a shock for Mary Magdalene and the other women to see the empty tomb and then the angels and then the risen Lord. What a puzzle for Peter and John to see the place where Jesus' body had been laid, but with the body missing. And what a jolt for Jesus to appear in the midst of the disciples as they hid in a locked room. And what a mystery for Jesus to appear to two disciples as they journeyed on the road to the village of Emmaus. In our gospel text for today, there's certainly a few surprises. Cleopas and another unnamed disciple were walking to Emmaus. And as they're plodding along, they were discussing everything that had happened in the last few days. And as they were walking, Luke states that Jesus himself drew near and went with them. I love that short statement. The resurrected Lord draws near to these two disciples and walks with them. But Luke then adds, their eyes were kept from recognizing him. That's kind of strange, isn't it? These disciples were prevented from identifying Jesus. For some reason, Jesus is actively keeping these two men from recognizing him. So what's Jesus up to here? Wouldn't he want his followers to actually see and believe in the resurrected Jesus? What's going on? Well, it's pretty safe to say that the disciples didn't understand Jesus' ministry, his suffering, his death, and then the rumors floating around that he'd risen from the dead. They just didn't get it. But who of us would have? Jesus had spent 3 years with the disciples teaching about the kingdom of God, preaching the good news, forgiving people's sins, healing their sicknesses, and all along the way, Jesus was dropping hints as to what he was doing, where he was going, namely his crucifixion and death. Some of these hints were rather cryptic. But in many cases, Jesus did much more than just leave obscure clues. Several times, Jesus flat out told the disciples that he was going to be betrayed, suffer, and die, but also rise again 3 days later. Jesus predicted exactly what was going to happen, but the disciples didn't get it. They must have chalked up these predictions simply as more of those strange things that Jesus said. But it wasn't just through these handful of predictions that Jesus foretold his death and resurrection. Jesus' death and resurrection were promised and prophesied throughout all of the Old Testament. And this is what Jesus explained to the two disciples as he joined them in their journey to Emmaus. Luke states that Jesus taught them, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, showing them that according to the entirety of the Old Testament, it was necessary for the Messiah to suffer. He also taught them that the entire Old Testament pointed to the Messiah, to Jesus, to himself. He interpreted the Old Testament Christologically, that is, Jesus interpreted the Old Testament scriptures in light of himself. Jesus is the key to reading and understanding the Old Testament, the entire Bible. It all points to Jesus. So along the road to Emmaus, Jesus gave what had to have been the greatest Old Testament Bible study ever. And what an awesome Bible study that must have been. And I can't help but think that Jesus is pulling off a special surprise for these two disciples. I mean, he's the one actively preventing them from being able to recognize him. And he knows that he's going to open their eyes later that evening when he breaks the bread with them. So I can't help but wonder, as Jesus was teaching them, as he was going through Moses and all the prophets, that he was excited for them. He was excited to surprise them. I think Jesus was looking forward to opening their eyes at just the right moment. Part of the fun in pulling off a surprise for someone is leaving hints and clues along the way. And that once they're surprised, it all makes sense. They have that aha moment where everything falls in place, where they are able to connect all the dots. So I can't help but wonder what hints and clues Jesus dropped along the way as they walked down that road. Because once Jesus finally opened their eyes, when he finally pulled the big surprise on them, they said to each other, "Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened to us the scriptures?" Once they were allowed to see the resurrected Jesus, once they were allowed to see for themselves their risen Lord, everything fell into place. Their hearts were burning. It all started to make sense. You know, our gospel reading reminds me of my favorite chapter in my favorite book in the Chronicles of Narnia series by C.S. Lewis. In the book, The Horse and His Boy, in the chapter entitled The Unwelcome Fellow Traveler, there's a scene where the main character, a boy named Shasta, is riding a horse with a group of people. And he actually doesn't know how to ride a horse, so he ends up falling behind and eventually winds up lost all by himself. And soon he's engulfed in fog and the darkness of night, and Shasta begins to feel very miserable in that moment as he reflects on his situation. He's convinced that he's the most unfortunate person in the world. For up to this point in the story, he's experienced many mishaps and misadventures. One of the biggest mishaps has been several encounters with lions chasing him and his friends. How could one person encounter so many lions? How unlucky. The boy starts to feel very sorry for himself and begins to cry. But as he continues to ride the horse in the darkness, he realizes that he's actually not alone. Someone else is walking beside him. He can't see the other person or the other thing, but he can hear it breathing. Shasta is gripped by fear. Even though he can't see it, he knows it's a big someone, a big something. So who's next to him? What's next to him? Well, Shasta continues to ride the horse in the dark while the unwelcome fellow traveler continues to walk beside him. Finally, when he can't stand it any longer, Shasta whispers, "Who are you?" The thing responds, "One who has waited long for you to speak." The two begin to converse, and Shasta, fearing the thing to be some sort of ghost, asks if it's something dead, then pleads for it to go away and again laments that he is the unluckiest person in the world. The thing then breathes on Shasta, reassuring him that he's not a ghost, and then says, "Tell me your sorrows." Shasta then tells the thing about his whole life and about all his unlucky mishaps, including the unf- unfortunate encounters with all the lions. However, the thing responds to Shasta that he hasn't been unfortunate, and that he's actually only encountered one lion. For he was the lion he kept running into. The lion, of course, is Aslan, the Christ figure in the Chronicles of Narnia. Aslan explains to Shasta that he has actually been with the boy all along, watching over him, guiding him, walking with him. In this moment, Aslan drew near to Shasta in the midst of his loneliness, in his misery and suffering, and invites Shasta to tell him all his sorrows. Aslan also explains to Shasta that he's been drawing near to him his whole life. And after Aslan reveals to the boy who he really is, Shasta then gets to see him. A bright light shines in the darkness, and Shasta sees a giant lion walking next to him. But Shasta then notices that the light is actually coming from Aslan himself. And shortly after seeing Aslan, the beautiful and glorious lion disappears. This scene from the Chronicles of Narnia is, as I said, my favorite scene in the whole series. Now, I don't know what C.S. Lewis had in mind when he wrote this chapter, but I think it's a beautiful reflection of our gospel reading in two ways. First of all, Aslan shares with Shasta that he's been present with him the whole time. Jesus, by explaining to the two disciples that the entire Old Testament testifies and points to the Christ, is stating that he's been present in the Old Testament scriptures the whole time. It's not until after Aslan reveals himself to Shasta that he knows and understands the events in his life, that Aslan has always been with him. It's not until after the resurrection, when Jesus opens the eyes of his disciples, that they finally understand the scriptures, Jesus and his mission to save the world. And second, the episode between Shasta and Aslan echoes our gospel text in that Aslan drew near to Shasta on the road, like Jesus drawing near to the disciples as they traveled to Emmaus. Aslan wanted to make himself known to Shasta, and Jesus, in his own mysterious way, wanted to make himself known to these two disciples. Aslan wanted to walk with Shasta, to converse with him, to teach him, and then finally to let Shasta see him with his own eyes. What a surprise. Jesus wanted to walk with these two disciples, to converse with them, to teach them, and then finally to open their eyes in order that they might recognize him. What a greater surprise. See, we have a God who draws near to us. Christ drew near to us through his incarnation by becoming a human just like us. He drew near to us through his life, ministry, suffering, death, and resurrection. And this same Christ, whom the entire Bible points to, who was present throughout the whole Old Testament, who has always been present with his creation, continues to draw near to you today. He draws near to you in your baptism, through the reading and proclamation of his word, through the mutual encouragement and care of fellow Christians, and when by his grace we're able to gather again through his body and blood in Holy Communion. You have a Savior who draws near to you to walk along the various roads in your everyday life. You have a Redeemer who invites you into holy conversation with him and encourages you to tell him all of your sorrows. You have a risen Lord who has a wonderful surprise waiting for you when someday you open your eyes and you get to see Jesus face to face. Jesus draws near to you. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our crucified and risen Lord, who draws near to you. Amen. Alleluia. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed.